sing? I said, well, I sing by letters. They said, well, how's that? And I said, just rare back and let her go. Amen. That's the way I sing. But it is good to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to be in this service this morning. Appreciate Brother Jeff and his friendship. And I'm grateful for he and his family's devotion and commitment to our Lord and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I am honored to be here this morning and have come hoping to exalt Him and to edify the church. I was preaching back last year in revival and was preaching about Jonah. And I preached about preaching. And we know the Bible said that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And I'm grateful for a God of the second chance. And Jonah got about the business of preaching when the Lord spoke to him that second time. But there is a purpose in preaching. It's not just hollering and sweating, that sort of thing. But number one, I mentioned on that night that the purpose of preaching, number one, is to exalt the Savior. To lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. So number one, our purpose in preaching is to exalt the Savior. And then number two, our purpose in preaching is to enlighten the sinner. To allow that sinner to see himself as a sinner in need of a Savior. You'll never get saved. You'll never get right with God until you first see yourself in need of a Savior. As the song says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. And I'm just trying to mind the Lord. I didn't mean, I had not planned to say all this. But the purpose in preaching is to exalt the Savior, to enlighten the sinner. The purpose in preaching is to edify the saints, to build us up. And I know y'all are just like me. We made out of the same stuff, and there are times that we need to be built up. We need to be encouraged. And then I said on that night, also the purpose in preaching is sometimes just an old-fashioned woe. What I mean by that, y'all know what I mean by that. Sometimes God will speak to us and He'll say, woe. Now that was the deal with Nineveh. We find out in the first of the book of Jonah, the Bible says that the wickedness of Nineveh had come up before God. And Jonah was sent down there, and in a nutshell, he was to say, whoa, it stops right here. It's went far enough. And sometimes that is the purpose in preaching. I don't know who that was for, but hopefully it landed where it's supposed to land. I've got a new gadget this morning. We are in trouble for sure. I mean, we're in trouble. I do not text. I do not Twitter. I do not Facebook. And I can't turn on a computer, so me and technology don't get along. But I told my wife a while back, I said, when the Lord calls me home, I want to be remembered for something other than being a long-winded preacher. And I said, I need something simple to help me know how long I've been preaching. Been preaching 3 seconds. Been up here 3 seconds. And I don't know if that'll do any good or not, but maybe it'll ease y'all's mind that I do know what time it is. Tried to pray and seek the will of God. Asked God to show me what to preach about this morning. I feel like He led us to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 11. Reminds me of a little story I like. I don't have anything against Bible. Just turn myself off. That's me. All right. I don't have anything against Bible college. I think there are some good Bible colleges that will help young men grow in the Lord. And then I think there are some that need to be closed down. There are some that the professors and the teachers have become the authority. And man is never the authority. The authority is the Word of God. But this professor had gotten off course. And he was getting his students, his young preacher boys, off course. And he was one of them that didn't believe the Bible. And why did ever have somebody teaching a Bible college that didn't believe a Bible? They just don't understand that business. And he said there is no scriptural authority for the idea that God communicates with us. And that God speaks to us. And as they often do, he had pretty much persuaded all those young preacher boys that that's what the Bible taught. And finally, he asked a question in one of their classes, and he said, Has God ever spoke to any of y'all? Old red-headed country boy in the back. All rest of them intimidated by the Bible professor. None of them would raise their hand. Old red-headed country boy in the back slipped his hand up. And the professor said, so God has spoke to you, has he? He said, yes, sir. More than once he spoke to me. And the professor said, well, did anybody else hear him? And the old country boy said, no, sir. He wasn't talking to nobody else. Amen. And I still believe that God communicates with us and God speaks to us. Sometimes in a mighty way, sometimes in a still small voice, sometimes through His Word. Sometimes through His Spirit, sometimes through a car accident, sometimes through cancer, sometimes out at the lake, sometimes watching the stars. God does communicate with us. And I have tried to find the will of God for this service. Matthew chapter number 11, let's stand to our feet in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Just one verse this morning on our heart, Matthew chapter number 11. And verse number 28, Matthew 11 and verse number 28. The Lord Jesus speaking here. In Matthew 11, 28, the Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our Father, we bow this morning in humility and in reverence And we bow this morning in unworthiness before Thee. And we ask You as we stand in this sacred place and open Your sacred Word, oh God, that You would unctionize us afresh to preach the Word of God. May we exalt You this morning. May we be used of You. May we be a help to Brother Jeff and Sister Amanda and the folks here at this church. And I pray that Your will would be done. If there is some lost sinner this morning, that You would save them. And Lord, we're glad that You are the all-wise God, that You know all things and You know all the needs that are here this morning. You know my need. And I pray that You'd meet with us today. And Lord, all is vain lest Your Spirit comes down. And we pray that You'd guide our mind and guide our mouth these next few moments of time and give us, Lord, that which You'd have us to deliver to these people. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Much of the earthly life of the Lord Jesus Christ was focused on ministry, teaching and training, preparing and equipping His followers to carry on and to go forward with the ministry. Much of His earthly life was focused on the ministry. But also there were those times that the Lord Jesus focused on His followers. And that He looked on their needs. And He looked on their issues and on their problems and on the things in which that they were facing to save them, to help them, to heal them, to encourage them, to comfort them. There were those times that the Lord focused on His followers. And might I say this morning, ultimately, is not this the ministry of the Lord Jesus? Saving, healing, helping, restoring, and encouraging those that would follow Him. Such is the case with the verse that we've read from this morning. He's focusing on His followers. He's encouraging and comforting His followers. And He says unto them, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It does me good this morning. It does me real good to see the tenderness of the Son of God and to see His interest in His followers. It does me good this morning. It does me real good to see the Lord's compassion and to hear of His concern as I hear those words from John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It does me good. It does me real good to hear those words from the lips of the Son of God. And to hear Him say, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And to hear Him say over and over, fear not. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And to hear him say, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And to hear him say, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And to hear him say, be of good courage, and be not afraid. And all those compassionate and comforting words that the Lord Jesus spoke as he focused on his followers, their needs, their issues, their problems and difficulties that they were facing along life's road. That being said, I want to share with you a few things this morning from this verse of Scripture. First off, I notice here in Matthew 11 in verse number 28, number one, the invitation to come to Jesus. The invitation to come to Jesus. Jesus says here in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me. Now, the very first question that God asked man in the Old Testament, I throw it right there, brother, is that the question that he asked of Adam, and I've said this before, y'all do realize that when God asks questions, he's not seeking for information. He's not seeking for answers. God never asks a question that he don't already know the answer to. And the very first question that God asked of man in the Old Testament was that question when he said, Adam, where art thou?
Right. Amen.
Then we come over to the New Testament.
Bless you, Lord.
And the New Testament, we find the first question that man asked concerning God. And it was asked of those wise men that came from the earth, from the east, where they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. Listen to me this morning. Adam and Eve sinned and fell in the Garden of Eden. And God asked Adam, where art thou? And all that time, going back to the Garden of Eden, up to this point, a dear friend, man had been seeking God, and those wise men came and said, where is he that is born a King of the Jews? Let me say, since man sinned, since man fell, there has been a division, there has been a wall, there has been a distance, there has been a separation, there's been a wall between God and man ever since that little incident back there in the Garden of Eden. Jesus arrives on the scene and he says, come back. He arrives on the scene and says, come home. He arrives on the scene and says, come unto me. I say this morning, if you're lost, there is a distance between you and God. I've heard people say quite often, me and the man upstairs, we're all right. Well, that tells me, just from that statement, things aren't as good as you might think they are. I refer to him as a lots of things, but it never has been the man upstairs, amen. It's been the Almighty God and the Everlasting Father and the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley and the Ram of God and the Savior, but never has been the man upstairs. Let me say this morning, if the sin has not been dealt with in sincerity in your life, how you're believing a lie if you think that everything's good between you and God.
Yes, that's right.
Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. He says that the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And if you're lost this morning, you're in a bad place. Amen. You're in a bad place. And the outlook's not good for you if you've never been born again. You must be born again. That's not Randy Clark. That's Jesus Christ. You must be born again. And if you're out of fellowship with God this morning, there is a distance between you and God. There is a separation. Had a preacher friend. He was going through a hard time, like we all do from time to time. Amen. He had done got at the house and got alone and felt like nobody was there. Well, wasn't nobody there. He got down on his hands and knees there in that low time, and he cried out, "Oh God, where are you? God, where are you?" His son come in about that time. I'm going to tear this up before it's all over with. His son come in, and all his son heard was, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm right here, Daddy." And all my preacher friend heard as he was praying was, "I'm right here." He said the hair stood up on the back of his neck. Oh, but you hear me this morning. If you're out of fellowship with God, there is a distance, there is a separation between you and God. Oh, what a blessing it is to be in fellowship and to be right with God. You've got the invitation this morning. I notice that this invitation is to all. Notice that fourth word there in verse number 28. Come unto me, what? All. This is an invitation to all. Red, yellow, black, white, from the right side of the tracks or the wrong side of the tracks, whether you're educated or uneducated, Jesus come on the scene and he said, come back, come home, come to me. The invitation is to all. Let me also point out this morning that this coming to Jesus involves movement. I like movement, amen. Coming to Jesus involves movement. First off, it involves movement on his part. And you ain't got to worry about his part. He's going to handle his part, amen. And be a matter of fact, he's already taken the first step right here with this invitation. He's made a move. He said, come unto me. Amen. I'm telling you, this coming to Jesus involves movement.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. I'm glad when the good Holy Ghost moves on us.
Thank you, Lord.
I was preaching a funeral one time. And don't have time to get into all this. Lord have mercy. I tell you, preaching funerals have changed over the years. Used to, you just go in and preach whatever God puts on your heart. But now you're a dog from the kennel as a preacher. Everybody in the family's got some hoop for you to jump through in order to preach a funeral. And I'm telling you, they shook my hands as one man said, "You better say something good about my sister."
God bless him.
And I'm telling you, threats from all sides. And people that were unchurched and never had been in church and had no respect for the worship service and no respect for the man of God. And they were carrying on conversations while I was up preaching. And
and getting up and going in and out. And I'm telling you, I was a praying and a preaching at the same time. I was saying, help me, Lord. And about 10 minutes into that thing, I'm telling you, the good Holy Ghost of God moved on that congregation. And I'm telling you, the hair on the back of my neck was standing up. I like movement, amen. Had a lady get saved, and the man that threatened me gave me $100 a bill when it was over with and got saved 2 weeks later. I'm just saying, that this coming to Jesus involves movement. First on the Lord's part, He moves on us by His Spirit. I remember as a young boy, didn't nobody have to tell me as a young boy that heaven was communicating with me. I felt the drawing power of God, and God calls us through the Holy Ghost and through His Word. He moves on us. He says, come to me, come unto me. Then let me also point out this morning, it involves movement on our part. In order to be right with the Lord Jesus, in order to be in fellowship and communion with Him, there must be a movement on your part toward the Son of God. And you're looking at a preacher that believes this morning, if there's something going on the inside, it'll manifest itself outside also. When I was pastoring, I didn't preach much on money. Only when the Lord nudged me. Because the Lord went and taught me that if He's got a person's heart, He'll get their billfold too, amen. Somebody said it done went somewhere wrong. That's exactly right. Amen. And all I'm saying this morning, it involves movement on your part. There'll be evidence if the Lord's calling to you. If there's a spiritual work going on, there'll be physical activity that takes place in your life. You'll respond and move toward the Lord Jesus. Oh, what a precious scene it is to see men and women, boys and girls, in sincerity, moving toward the Son of God, moving to Jesus, and moving with Jesus, and moving for Jesus. What a precious sight that is to see people in that sort of relationship with the Lord. I guarantee you it encourages Brother Jeff to see you here. But when his heart really gets thrilled, it's when he sees it going up beyond church attendance and there's real spiritual activity taking place in your life. And you show up and say to the Lord, I'm reporting for duty. I've come to join with you. Lord, I've come to commit myself and devote myself unto thee. Involves movement on the Lord's part. It involves movement on our part. Coming unto Jesus. James 4:8. I believe it is. Says, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh unto you. That should make us all like a bloodhound this morning. After the Son of God. For God to say to us, you draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. One fella said one time, y'all hear this morning, it's not how many goals you ring, it's not how many home runs you hit, the highest pursuit of man, the highest that man can reach here on earth is the pursuit of God. Amen. You can't pursue any place any higher. I'm not here to stir up controversy or to take any pose. And I don't know what you feel about the man, but I do like this statement that he made. Billy Graham was voted several years the most honest man in America. And one of them
TV shows, Dateline or 2020, said to him, Mr. Graham, with that type of reputation, with that type of rapport with the people, why would you not run for president? And Billy Graham said, why would I want to step down?
Yeah,
that's right. Amen. I'm telling you this morning that the highest pursuit of man is the pursuit of God. And you can seek after careers, and you can seek after offices, and you can seek after positions. Oh, but hear me this morning. If you miss God, if you miss being right with God, as the old song says, I'd rather have Jesus than the world. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. The highest pursuit of God, of man, is the pursuit of God. And I'm not here to pry in your business. And I don't know what all's going on in your life, but I do, as a preacher, ask you the question this morning. Is there any movement at all in your life to Jesus? Toward Jesus, is there any movement toward Him? That prodigal son got down there in the hog pen. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll arise. Movement, amen. He said, I'll arise and go to my father's house. Luke 15, 18 said, and he arose. Amen. He arose. He got up. And you may be as a prodigal this morning. You may have run everywhere in this world. But oh, what a great day if May the 6th, 2012 would be the day that you say, today I'm going back home. I'm going to the Son of God. I'm moving toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been preaching 27 minutes and 7 seconds. Point number one. We notice, number one, that in this verse there is the invitation to come to Jesus. I know how some of y'all are. Well, I would have went. Didn't nobody invite me. That didn't hurt you when you was in high school. You just crashed the party. But you hear me, if your life wraps up, if your life ends, and you end not right with the Lord, it's not because you've not received an invitation.
That's right.
There is the invitation to come to Jesus. Then secondly, I would want you to notice not only the invitation to come to Jesus, but I notice in this verse the inspiration to come to Jesus. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now the things that should and could inspire us to come to Jesus are endless.
Yes, that's right, Brother.
Amen. I mean, there's a gazillion reasons why we should come to Jesus.
Amen.
There are a gazillion things that should inspire us to come to Jesus.
That's right.
And Jesus knows that we need some inspiration.
Yes.
And He says here in text, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He's saying, all of you that are weary, all of you that are troubled, all of you that are burdened, all of you that have difficulties and problems, come unto me.
Yeah, that's right, Brother Randy.
Your problems and your issues should draw you, inspire you to come to the Son of God.
Over and over and over, when I first started preaching, I was confronted with people and they said, "Why, you Christians, y'all just use Jesus, this Jesus stuff as a crutch." Boy, I, young preacher, young Christian, I dropped my head and I wouldn't know what to say. Been then about the third or fourth time that happened, I was loaded for bat.
Yes.
I was talking to this fellow and he said, "Y'all just use this Jesus business as a crutch." And I said, "Guilty!
Yeah.
Guilty! Guilty! Guilty!" I said, some of us realize that we're so weak, that we're so inadequate, that we're so nothing in ourselves, that we can't walk and we can't do anything and we can't accomplish anything without the Lord's help. Amen, amen, and amen. Yes, sir. When I was pastoring, I said quite often, it don't matter what vehicle brings you to Jesus, whether it be a donkey or a Rolls Royce, if it brings you to Jesus, it's a good vehicle.
Amen.
I remember when I was a boy growing up, sister, wasn't none of our family in church. Wasn't none of us living for God. And then that grandma of mine, the Lord called her home. And I don't mean nothing by this, and y'all just be nasty if you want to.
Bless him, Lord.
Brother Hall, I used to sleep with her as a young boy. Stay down there. My grandpa was dead. I never did know him. She was in the house by herself.
Bless you, Lord.
And as a young boy, they let me stay with her in case something happened. And that precious grandma got called home. And I'm telling you, this was some movement that started happening in the Clark family. And it wasn't long, wasn't all of us in church, me and my mama and my brothers and my sisters, and it wasn't long that I got saved, and it wasn't long, too long after that the Lord called me to preach. And I sure did hate losing my grandma. But it ended up being a good vehicle that showed us our inadequacies and showed us the uncertainty of life, that at any moment life can change. And I love that old song, "People Need the Lord." And there are numerous things that should inspire us to come to the Son of God. "Come unto me, all ye that labor, and bring your problems and your troubles and your difficulties and your issues. And come unto me." Y'all use him as a crutch. He encourages us and invites us to do so. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all our care upon him, for he careth for us." We can just put it all on him. I was talking to this sweet little Methodist lady one time. She is gray-headed, kind of like me and you. Well, yours is blonde, mine's gray. And she's just a little sweet Methodist lady, and she says to me, she says, "Preacher," and she said, "I just take the big stuff to God." And she said, "I try to work out all the little stuff myself." She thought she was sounding pretty. And I said to her, "Sis, from where I'm sitting, I believe it's all little stuff to God." Huh?
That's right, Brother Randy.
Your biggest issue, your biggest burden, your biggest problem, your biggest trial is nothing to an almighty God.
Yeah, that's right, Brother Randy.
Y'all looking at a preacher that still believes all this that we see out here was spoke.
Yeah, that's right. Hey,
in the being.
Amen.
Him say, let there be light. What does the Bible say? And there was light. Yeah. It's all little. I learned from pastoring that people are fickle. Baptists is the worst fickle group of all. We had some, Brother Jeff, when God was a blessing them and everything was going good. Boy, there's a praising God. There's a walking with God. There's fellowshipping with God. And then things take a turn south and go bad and they disappear.
Yeah, that's right, Brother Randy.
Can't find them. Yeah. And then we had another group. When everything was going good, they wasn't praising God. They wasn't seeking God. They didn't need God. But when things turned bad, they turned north. Seeking God. People are fickle. And some 26 years ago, this week, I stood in a church before a preacher, and I said to that young lady sitting back yonder, smile at me, in sickness and in health,
yeah, that's right,
for richer, for poorer, yeah, for better, for worse, and as far as I'm concerned, she's cream of the crop.
Yeah, right,
she's the apple of my eye.
Yeah.
And if I can say that to that lady sitting back there, surely I can say it to the Son of God.
Yeah, right.
In sickness or in health,
yeah,
for better, for worse,
right,
for richer, for poor, till death do us part. Amen.
That's right. That's
amen.
Right.
Had a preacher friend of mine. He and his wife had a good old fashioned Georgia knockdown drag out. And she crossed her arms and looked at him and said, well, I ain't going nowhere. You don't know, it done bubbled up to that point. There was movement that needed to be made.
Bless him, Lord.
He crossed his arms and looked back at her and said, well, I ain't a-going nowhere either. And you know what they did? They resolved right then and there.
Yeah, that's right, Brother.
For better, for worse, for richer, for poor, those two was stuck with one another because neither one of them was going anywhere.
Yeah.
That's the kind of people we need walking,
yes,
with the Lord.
Sure.
Amen.
Some of them became offended in Jesus and they turned and started walking away. And Jesus looked at them and said, will you also go away? In John 6:69. And Peter said what I've said often. To whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ.
Yeah, it's him, Brother Randy.
Yeah. Brother Hall, there's nowhere else for me to go. And there's nobody else for me to turn to. And all I'm saying is there's many things that should inspire us to come to Jesus. Some of y'all have had a good week this week. Some of y'all have been so happy this week that we can't hardly stand you. You know, couldn't get your head in the door. Happy, ready to go to meeting. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
But
Today, some other ones in this congregation, not so much.
That's right, Brother Randy. That's right, Brother.
Thank you, Lord.
Maybe had a bad week. Maybe had a bad month. Maybe had a bad year. Maybe having a bad day this morning. Some of y'all looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. Some of y'all said this could have been over with a lot longer ago than 40 minutes and 3 seconds. I promise you, we'll be done here in a minute. What I'm saying is, those of you, I know what it's like, and that person to your left and to your right knows what it's like. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. And I notice in this verse the invitation to come to Jesus. I notice the inspiration to come to Jesus. Lastly, and I'm done. Number three, I notice the increase in coming to Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. There is an increase in coming to Jesus. You don't come to Jesus and stay the same. There is that increase. First and foremost, this morning, we should come to Jesus because of who He is.
Amen.
To come and be joined with Him. Nothing in this world like being right with the Lord. Being in fellowship with the Lord. Not perfect, forgiven. Nothing in this world like being right with Him. More to come to Him just because of who He is. Like them wise men, we've seen His star, and we've come to worship Him.
Yeah.
Lord, I don't have time to jump up all these rabbits. But I was at the First Baptist Church of Douglasville a few weeks ago seeing my sister-in-law get baptized. And anyhow, they started revival that Sunday morning. I didn't know it. But when I left the house that day, brother, I left the house, it was Sunday, and that was the Lord's Day, and I was going to worship.
Amen.
In the First Baptist Church, Douglasville, 3,000 people. And the preacher got to preaching, and he preached on the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, and I said, amen! 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 And my wife nudged me. I said, double amen! I didn't go there to see who was there. I went to worship the Lord, and we ought to come to Him because of who He is. Why do you say amen? Why do you raise your hands? Why do you get so happy? Because great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, that book says. We come to Him because of who He is. We come to Him because of who He is. And then number two, we ought to come to Him because of what He can do.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'll give you rest.
Yes.
You know what the doctor says? Come unto me and I'll give you a prescription.
Yeah.
And going back to them funerals, you know how most people deal with funerals now? The doctor says, now I can give you something to help you through this time.
Yeah.
Dr. Jesus says, I give you something to help you through this time. It won't cost you nothing. Won't have to have Medicare or Blue Cross, Blue Shield. And you'll feel all right tomorrow, and it won't cause cancer. It won't cause kidney stones. It won't cause ulcers. He says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. I'm talking about there is an increase in coming to Jesus. There is peace. Amazing. 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 I love that old song in our hymn book. Peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. It's a good one. I like this one too. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to Him in prayer. He knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes things right. Well, there's been some times some of y'all come into the house of God burdened down and heavy laden, and you come and you brought it all to Jesus and laid it on Jesus and went out the door a different way. And there is the increase in coming to Jesus. Isaiah 57 verses 20 and verse number 21 says, the wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cast up mire and dirt. The next verse says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There is some things that God has a monopoly on. You can't find them anywhere else. And this rest that Jesus is speaking about here, there ain't but one place to find it. And that's in Him. Isn't it wonderful that we can be having problems and difficulties and our world falling apart, we just have amazing peace down in our soul. Down in her soul. And there is the invitation. And there is the inspiration. But there is the increase in coming to Jesus. That's what I was supposed to tell you this morning. Let's stand to our feet.